all the way. Maybe I should check. I'll check that. Ah, I do. So, good morning. How are you? How are you? How are you doing, people? I have a guest today I'm really super excited about, Allison Ames. Hoping that we can connect today. And, you know, there's always a little bit of bump when people first call in. Get used to the app. But hey, Tom. Until they know how to do it. But Allison, she had a book. Her first book was like a prison planet sci-fi thing that came out, I don't know, I must have read it in 2017, 2018, because it was quite a while ago. It was one, and then another one came out. I just loved this series. It's called The Condemned series. It was very cool, captured my imagination, extremely sexy, and it is so exciting for me today to get to chat with her. I knew about The Condemned series. I read them, and then a new book came out. I don't know, maybe last year, a couple years ago, 2 years ago, maybe. And now she is writing some Omegaverse. She's writing more. I just have questions. How the journey is going to be very exciting to explore. So I'm very, very excited that she's coming on this morning. I'm hoping we can make that connection happen between the podcast and the writer and the guest. And also, I want to, while we're waiting, I wanted to give you some updates. So, yes, I'm still doing poetry. I'm having a guest this evening, 5 p.m. my time. Lost Sea Scrolls, I think is the name. Because I don't have that information in front of me, and you know how goofy I am. If I don't see it, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's Lost Sea Scrolls, Drifting at Lost Sea Scrolls, another Twitter poet who has done some poetry also on Instagram. Very thrilled with that guest. I have a couple more writers who are coming on the show. I just talked to Catherine Moon. If you know who that is, she is the kind of the, I don't want to say inventor, that's not the quite word, but she coined the term sweet verse that is Omegaverse, that is very sweet and uplifting. And I have not read her book. I haven't read anybody's books for a while, let's just be honest. But I need to. I want to. It's on my TBR because the things I've heard about these books are just amazing. And she's going to be coming on, and a few other fantastic authors scheduled through July, a couple other poets. So that's kind of on the plan. And then I'm writing my third Orkai Warbride novel, which is, the first book, Finding Her Luck. I've having conversations with a friend about how well the book is and what the hit and miss point of it. And I don't know, these books, the Orkai Warbride books, are really, they're incredibly close to my heart. And well, all my books are a little bit. They're not book babies, but they're a little slice of my imagination that I'm sharing with the world. But these books are not everybody's cup of tea. I was looking at reviews, and the reviews are all over the place. You either like them or you don't. You either like the idea of an orc-ish character, and the language barriers, and the struggle of getting to know different cultures, and knowing yourself, and finding love, and finding adventure. And you either like that kind of thing, all within a kind of fairy tale, fantasy, sci-fi-ish setting, or you don't, you know. And I let my writing go free in these books. I really let my lyrical, poetic side come out a little bit more. You catch some of it in my my alpha books, but there's just a tad less editing in these that to restrain that voice. And so some people don't like that. Some people don't. it's choppy to them, or just overdone or underdone, or they just don't connect with it. And I get that. I totally get that. But anyway, so that first book is out. My second book in that series is coming out July 14th, I believe, and I'm working on the third to finish up that series, close it out, although there is the potential for more books because that's a whole universe happening there. But I'm going to close that thread out, and then I'll have a special short coming out. Fee and Alric. People have been asking for more 12 Sectors stories. And so Fee and Alric will be coming out hopefully this summer as well. In fact, if I can get enough pre-orders on my second book, I can explain why later, but it's a contract thing that the way my contract works to make my books come out faster. If I can pay some stuff off front, it just helps. You know, because those editing costs, oh people, you do not know what it costs to edit my books. Please, you should see my sloppy writing. Have you been to Wattpad? Oh Lord, that's after 10 people have looked at it and I still need an editor. Oh, anyways, if I can get 250, I know it's a lot, but pre-orders for my second book, then I will release a preview. You can have a preview of my next book. So I'm gonna check. I've just been chatting and she's calling in, but I'm not sure who you are. Are the only crazy lady? Is that you? Who? Can you try and call in again? I can't tell. Who you are, Allison. Allison Beyond. I'm not seeing. No, I am not seeing which person you are. Let me look. There are three people here in the studio. And I don't see you. So try again. We'll see. Is this you, Allison? It says you. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this you?
Yes, it's me. Sorry, I called in on a different name and I forgot to warn you about that. So
that's okay. That's okay. It looks like kind of the generated name. And I'm like, is that you?
Sorry.
No, it's great. It's so fantastic. I'm so glad you're here. Big hug.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. I'm so excited. And I was just trying, as I was frantically calling in, I was trying to listen to what you were saying about your books too. I'm getting so excited. Sounds like you have some big plans.
I do. You know, we all do. Like, don't you? Aren't you? Are you one of those authors that you're in the middle of the book? A book you're writing and you have 20 ideas for other books and they start calling you, they're like, come over here and start me too.
I so wish I was that kind of author. I'm not. And I think I must be only one of like a million. I don't know. I focus so much on the one I'm on. And sometimes that leaves me feeling a little panicked because I'm like, what am I going to do next? I mean, it's not that I have ideas, but I'm definitely not one who has a million ideas whispering, which I'm so envious of. I love that idea. I think I used to have that when I was a little bit younger, but not as much.
You know, there's a trade over there to be able to focus until you're done. If I could do it over.
Yeah.
If I had known I was going to actually publish, because my first book, I didn't know. So I wrote my first book and then I wrote my second and then I started playing in other worlds.
Yes.
If I had known that they were going to be liked, I would have just stayed in one world because I feel like readers are like, they get impatient. And I actually, yeah, I started playing and stretching it out. And so now I have actually 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of different universes going that aren't finished and that aren't closed out really. And readers are like, when, hello, when yeah. are you going to do it? Are you going to finish it? Are you going to, and I feel guilty. I feel like I need to, even though every book is a standalone, they're like, there's little hints of other characters, you know, just to little teasers. And yeah, so I feel guilty that I have all that. If I had known, I would have stayed in one
That's
universe.
So funny. I do know you had said when we were chatting beforehand, you had said, oh, one of the things we might chat a little bit about was sort of advice for people, you know, indie authors or new authors. Yes. And I was thinking that was one of the main pieces of advice that I would give, which I also, like you, did not follow at all. So it's always a case, right? Learning from our mistakes. But I absolutely agree. Same, just like you, the first book that I wrote, I had no idea that I would, you know, making it to something bigger. And that is, of course, why I have so much less read through on that series than I do in the later ones, because of, you know, you have people interested in your world, and that's wonderful. But there are so many amazing books out there that if you don't give readers a sort of reason to keep coming back, it's not impossible, and they find you again. But you have to work a little bit harder, I would say, to remind them. So I'm with you. But there's something also that's, you know, you also have to write what interests you. And
what captures it.
I mean, that's some of the magic of your books, I feel like. And I hope it's the same with mine, that you're writing something because you really love it, not because you feel like you've got to complete it in that world, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off. And as as an author and as a business person and as a marketer, you know, we've got all these different hats, and you just, I guess, got to juggle them and find what really works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had known, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I can always jot ideas down, but staying in one universe just to focus on the editing, and when it becomes a bit, you know, from your first book to your third book, the world seems to grow.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And the people, and then if to go away and step away from that for a year and then come back to it, you're a little lost. You're like, oh, I still love this world, but now I have to read all my own books again because I don't know. Even if I took notes, and I didn't the first, because I didn't know. I thought I'm just putting them out there and just seeing what happened. I took no notes. So yeah.
Which it is a special kind of journey to read your own books again. It can be wonderful, but it's a hell too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a special kind of hell to reread everything. Because even though you love it, my gosh, you've learned so much. Yes. And you want to go redo everything, I'm sure. I want to talk about the Condemned series.
Okay.
I loved. When I first came across, I'm like, I just loved. And then so I knew you had done that. And then for me, I didn't know about any other books. It was just that book. And then it seemed like you had disappeared for a while.
Yes.
And then
now true enough.
Is that true? Is that kind of, and then you repackage them and now you're writing again. So I want to, what was that?
Yeah. What happened? Well, it was in part, what did happen? I don't know. I was writing and then I just, it took me a lot longer just to get back into it. I don't really have a great story, except that I was taking a break for a while, just thinking about some other stuff. I wrote some contemporary that were really fun and that I loved, but I just decided to come back to what I had always sort of intrigued me. And so I returned to the Condemned series and I started up again. And it's funny, I think when I was first writing them, like we were saying before, I was just really writing so much for the fun of it and myself, and I wasn't really thinking about anything else. And then I just kind of started to do other things. I really love to dance, and I was dancing a lot, and I was just doing a lot of other projects. And then I decided to return to writing and become more serious, and I got together with a group of writers, and that really helped me to be more motivated. And so once I started doing that, then I started being a little bit more productive. And that's when I was really able to turn things around. And so I decided, like, I redid the covers and I just went for it. And since then, I've been more consistent. And then I also did, I know I said I don't have any ideas, but then I did have an idea for this other series I want to do. And so I started that, and that has been great fun for me. And I do feel like I have a little bit more of a sense of how to make that series more successful for readers. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I'm watching that happen and people's response to those books, which has been great too, even though they're kind of I'm talking about my Ruthless Warlord series. They're kind of a crazy mashup. I don't seem to be able to, you know, just stay within one genre particularly, but they're a really fun mashup and I love writing them. And they've got Omegaverse, and that's been fun because that's opened up, you know, a whole new world for me of readers and also authors. I mean, that's how I've gotten to connect with you more a number of others. And that has been so much fun because I love connecting with readers, and I also love connecting with other authors. You learn so much.
Yeah, very much. Exactly. The being able to exchange ideas with other authors and all the little quirks of the marketing aspect of it. It seems like my last four interviews with indie authors, they're like, if I had known more about marketing, because I just wasn't quite prepared to understand how that it's, you write the book and that's awesome, but then you have the other half. And the other half is the marketing and how much you need to put into that and learn, you know, find, so yeah, exactly.
It's
the
so true.
Packaging and everything.
Yeah. And I just also inspiration. And I mean, I just laugh so much at either, you know, with the author chats or even with my friends who are readers who come on Facebook and just are inspiring or funny. And I just really, really, because of course the writing itself can be a more isolating
experience.
And so it's so wonderful and motivating. And I just feel like I've met so many lovely people through this process. And I just actually am venturing into the world of audio books too. And that is really fun too, because that is it's not entirely different set of readers, I would say, but they are unto themselves. And there is crossover, and that's really fun too, because I've gotten to meet a whole different set of bloggers and readers, and I love that too. So that's really fun.
That is. I mean, that's one reason why I do the podcast. Is to meet people and talk to people, because
your people you've interviewed are so varied and wonderful. I was listening through, and oh my goodness, must be really fun for you.
It is. You know, anybody that strikes my fancy that I think is a really interesting person, and I know I've gotten to talk to some of the adult content makers that I've gotten to talk to. I never would have in my regular life gotten to some of their perspectives and some of the lifestyle things and different things that I've learned about that are kind of, it's very fascinating. I've learned so much about humanity, about people, and about the way stories connect that through the podcast that I never would have had a chance to. And then through talking in the chats, but I'm very much love an audio talk better than a typing talk, because, you mm-hmm. know, everybody says I type ISO, because I really do need an editor in my head. I just, you know, miss words and just, or I dictate and, and the dictation is always kind of risky, but
yeah. So is that how you do your writing? You do dictation when you're doing your writing?
No, I can't, which is funny, because as much as I love to talk in a conversation with a person, if I'm going to write, because of the way I write, it has to go through my head and out my fingers to get to, and then I have to go back and edit it 50 times, but to get it to what I want it to be. When I try to dictate it, and I have, I don't know if you've experienced this, but the ergonomics of, you know, extensive, spending a lot of time in front of the computer, my body just was screaming about a month ago. I was just in agony from the bad ergonomics of trying to type at the desk that I had. My neck, my left side actually was just, I was hitting the arms of the chair constantly, and it was just messing everything up. And I was dictating then because I was still trying to get some stuff done. But going back and looking at what I dictated, I had an idea. I'm a pantser, so I don't outline. And so the dictation helped me do that. You know, it was kind of like, okay, the story's going to go. But I had to rewrite almost everything because it just doesn't flow as well. I got to have my fingers. Have you ever done any dictating? Does that work for you?
It does not work for me. My husband is a doctor, and he does a lot of dictation, and he was encouraging me, and so I gave it a shot, and it was just a disaster. I honestly don't know how to complete my sentences when I'm speaking out loud. I just am already on to like three sentences ahead, or I'm distracted by something shiny. Like I just, it's a disaster. So and everything was very staid, and I grew fascinated by watching the letters as they, you know, appeared on the screen.
Watch it half. Yeah. Well, you have to watch a little bit, but exactly.
And I got enough of a editor in my brain screaming at me all the time. I didn't need the edit. So for me, no thank you. Although I wish, because I do think it's an amazing tool. And just like you're saying, I mean, there are jobs far more taxing, I know, but there is a factor related to the physicality of the sitting and the typing. So so it would be nice to have another tool in the arsenal, but that one does not work for me either. I'm just like you. I have to put it onto the page before it becomes anything worth reading. Otherwise, it's just unbelievably almost illiterate if I'm speaking. So that's for me a challenge.
It's so true.
And I'm so envious. And also, I'm like you. I have to edit something a lot.
Yes. So many. Yes. You know, it's constant. These people who can write. There's this one writer that he's actually published now, traditionally published. I was in a critique group with him. I think his first book was The Dark, I can't remember. Anyways, he was so, his writing was so clean, his first draft. It wasn't that, you know, the story or however, I don't know if he was a pantser or not, but in the critiques, because we would exchange critiques, I'm like, this is your first draft. You know, no typos, just beautiful. Wow. And he's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, and he just, can you imagine how fast you could write a book if you could write it grammatically?
I almost don't want to imagine that because
it's such a jealous, you know. I'm like, how do you do that? That is so not fair.
Yeah.
I kind of love and hate you at the same time.
Yes, like, I'm with you. I just, it's like a different species to me. I mean, my mind has never, my desktop is cluttered. My mind is cluttered. There's no way. I don't even know. There's no world in which that's me. So
these writers who can put out a book without an editor and still have it. It may not be perfect, but it's still, you know, it's much. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I can't even.
You mean the proofreader, or you?
Yeah,
mean
a proofreader. Yeah. Or anything. I can't. I gotta. Yeah, my brain just doesn't work that way.
Mine either.
It just doesn't do it. Anyway, so. Your first series, what inspired the Condemned series?
First of all, it's funny. I had the trajectory for my writing was I had initially started off writing in historical romance.
So can you, I need a timeline. I need to know when you first started writing, because I first came across it in 2017 and were you were indie the whole time. I mean, you weren't, you were self-published, right? Or else a small pub.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. I, It's so funny. I remember that. I was initially, so my, I initially got into writing because I had been a professor and I taught history. And then I wanted to take a break because I was pregnant, and it was with the tenure track, it was very challenging. So I wrote a historical romance, and I got an agent. This was even before self-publishing was anything, and I got an agent, and I went through Avon, and I was on my way, and then that was right when things shifted. So
Oh,
Avon
probably around
dropped.
2000 then,
Yeah,
because yeah.
Avon dropped like several of their new people that they had been intending to publish with, because things just went out from under the market, and they just all of a sudden really only wanted to stay with like their tried and true. And so I was like, that was it. And it was a real surprise, and I had to rethink things and decide if I wanted to continue. And I guess as a result of that, I still wanted to write, but I just felt like writing something very different than I had been writing before. So I decided to, and I've always loved science fiction romance, always. And I've always loved romance. I mean, I was stealing my mom's books when she was a big romance reader, and I would steal her books when
Yeah, me too.
I was younger, and I thought I was so clever. And so all the big names, you know. And anyway, so I decided that I wanted to just give something totally different a try. And the weirdest thing is, I had a dream about a prison planet, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is perfect. So that's how I started. And when I initially started, we said before, I just thought I was writing, sort of writing out my dream and writing out Trapped, and which was so much fun to write. I just loved the idea of the man who's more beast than human, and at this point, and it's just such a fun trope and concept.
It really
And
is. It
yeah, it's
really
just,
is.
I just love that one. It's so great. And then I, from there, all of a sudden, at the same time that I did that, I was like, well, maybe I should write some other stuff. I was trying out some other genres. That's when I wrote a contemporary, and I decided, well, I'm gonna just put out Trapped myself, and I'll send off. This was Billionaire Blackmail, Billionaire Black, to some different publishing houses, and Entangled accepted that, and they were like, okay. We want this. I was like, okay, what do we need to change? What are we doing? Nope, we're taking it as is. It's going out tomorrow. Go. I was like, okay. But they were so wonderful to work with too, and I really enjoyed that experience. It was really fun. And the next book I wrote in the contemporary series, Besting the Billionaire, I actually still really, really love that book. But I just decided to leave that alone for a while and come back to the Condemned series after, because the response was so lovely, and I thought, oh, this could be really fun. And that has been so, I really love that world. I love the idea of this kind of harsh, desolate world where people have to really struggle to survive, and the characters in that have been so much fun to write, and they're also varied. So that's been really great.
When I just looked it up, that it was a Kurt Russell movie. It was called
Oh, yeah.
Soldier, and it was a prison planet. He got he dumped on a prison planet, and or kind of thrown away, I guess. Not really dumped, but there were settlers there, and he was thrown away on this planet. And that movie came out in what, 1998. And so when your book came out,
Oh.
and I don't know if you remember it, but Soldier was he was the romance, there wasn't really, it was very restrained. He's been so programmed and kind of responsive that he's not, you know, and dehumanized by mm-hmm. his job, that all he is a soldier. And so there's a woman, and she's married, but he's like, oh, there's a woman. It's almost like he's never been around a woman, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, so this came out, and then what else came out? There were a couple others that came out around that time. And so when your book came out, I was like, oh. And there weren't very many like that, you know. No, there weren't a lot with that were taking the kind of almost the bodice ripper kind of, you know, historical hero, which is kind of what you modernize him, and then you put him in a new thing where he's a little bit, but he's still got that drive and that
that's
magnetism
and
that, you know.
It's so much fun to have someone else describe it. It's so much better than when you try to describe it yourself, by the way. I'm like, oh yes, this book sounds fabulous. I totally, that is fun. And I need to go watch this movie now. I mean, it sounds perfect.
I'm so odd. I like the weird, I'm like, yeah, that's a romance. People, what? No, it really is. I don't even think they kiss, but they might. I don't know, but it's a romance. You got to watch it.
I find my romance wherever. I'll find it anywhere. I'm like,
yeah, the sexy
exactly
times
like you.
Come later, but there's big sexy times ahead. I just know.
Yes, exactly.
And so that is my other favorite romance is, that's not a romance, is, oh, it's a Vin Diesel movie, is Fade to Black. Is it one set in Australia where he's actually a prisoner and they and he ends up saving. Anyways, it's a romance.
No, I love it. I need to be writing these down.
Oh.
I love Vin Diesel. He's amazing.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen, it's one of his first movies.
No.
It's a sci-fi movie. You would probably love it. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But, it's one of these movies that just inspired all these ideas and fantasy. So when your book came out, and there were a couple others, I can't remember at the time, you know, when
it's been a while.
They just slip away. But it's such a fun genre, and finding those, but it's like one of these things. It's a little bit like a megaverse. You find this book and you're like, oh, you know, there aren't really that many of them.
No.
And Pitch Black. Yes. That's the movie.
Oh, okay. I'm writing it myself. Tell me.
Yes. You got to see the soldier. I think it's just Soldier with Kurt Russell. And Pitch Black, they're both, Pitch Black is fantastic. I love Pitch Black. You should watch it, come back and we'll discuss it.
Okay. Oh my gosh. That would be so much fun. Yeah. I feel like I'm missing out. And also it'll be such a motivator because I have written a couple books in that world, but I do need to go back and I have more to write. So in fact,
when you started writing him again, I was like,
Where did this come from?
She's writing again. I don't read a lot of contemporary. Yes, The Chronicles of Riddick. I saw that one too, but Pitch Black is my favorite.
But I'll read The Chronicles of Riddick too. Thank you. Yes, that's great.
Actually, I think there are three now. There are Pitch Black and there are three. They carried the character on. The Riddick character on, who's just a sexy beast. He's just a...
Okay. I'm excited. He and Kane, my guys, I think they'll get along. That sounds good.
Exactly. Exactly. I forgot my train of thought. No.
Because Vlad is giving us such good information. Thank you, Vlad.
We'll discuss that. And Riddick is the third. We'll discuss the whole series because, there's just something in that. I guess it's the alpha, the anti-hero mixed with the alpha male mixed with the, you know, the survival of which is very much your books.
Yes. And you know, either they've, like with these condemned series, they've been condemned and for them it's falsely accused and, you know, you've got your, so yes. That's always makes for an interesting backstory for their struggle.
Totally does. Sounds like you're describing me, though. Yes, we're describing you.
Inspiration. That's what I need. Perfect.
So I have not, because I've been trying to write, I have not been reading, sitting down and reading any whole books, because I feel guilty. So I have not read. They're on my to, I'm going to, in fact, I'm going to have a break coming up, like a no writing break, where I'm not going to do any, I'm going to read and I'm going to be patient.
I just did that. It was phenomenal. Yes. It was important. Yeah. It's important. It's very important.
It is. And it's coming up, and I'm going to read, and I'm not going to write, and I'm not going to mark it.
Yes.
God willing, I'm not going to mark it. But I'm going to catch up. So tell, how did you find Omegaverse then? I mean, I could see where it would appear. It so fits in with the heroes that you've already done.
Yes.
And I'm sure the same thing appealed to you that appealed to me about it. Just the unrepentant, you know, kind of
no holds barred aggression. I'm just laughing at Tom Renard's latest description of himself as a Harry the Diesel.
Hilarious.
Right. Another Tom, reason that I was drawn to these kinds of books. It's perfect. No, I loved the really the primal instinctual urges, and I think that makes it so much fun. If you like to write, you know, dirty books, which I do, and high heat and high sex, then, you know, that is a really compelling force. And one, it's fun. And two, it just makes for some great tension and conflict if there are other aspects thrown in. So I really love that. You know, I love paranormal books, and I love, you know, Cressley Coles, not Laura Lee, like some of those people, some of those authors, I just love them. And those at their heart have the same kind of instinct to breed. And I love getting to play with, you know, the alpha and the omega and the beta and the dominant submission aspects. I find that's really fun. So that has been a huge part of what interests me. And then I threw in, you know, again, I really like sort of anti-heroes. And so that is why these alphas are, they're anti-heroes. So they're criminals.
Yes.
And the world, the galaxy itself is a galaxy sort of rife with crime, and one in which the, you know, it's the predators who win and everyone else is prey. And so that's the realm, the galaxy in which they inhabit.
Yeah.
And that is really fun. So
is totally fun to do that. I agree. I like the, you know, you take the survival of the fittest to its, you know, to its end, and the fittest tend to be strong, and they're not smart, and sometimes not very nice.
Yeah, so true.
Because they fight dirty.
Not my heroes, though. They're also strong and nice.
Yeah, you know, somebody
have it all.
I love, one reason I love your books is because they are very, they embrace the fun and the fantasy of the whole. Just the wildness, of just the aspect of humanity. Just they just take it to the extreme, and maybe necessary. You tie them, wrap them all around really human things, really natural things. But in the at the same time, there's touches of fantasy that, you know, sometimes men are a little bit idealized, and they're not men we would ever want to live with. But
never. And not a little bit idealized, a lot, but yes. So true.
They're not men we would ever want to live with, because they're a little bit extreme and a little bit, but at the same time, so are the women. And, but you get to embrace the fantasy of it, and you get to let go of some of the conventional ideas. And that's why I love playing it. It's all fantasy. It's not real. Yeah. And that's why I love playing in those worlds too. And that's why I love your books, because you're just like, we're diving in now and we're going full force.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. And I do love exactly all that you're saying. And I do love the way, what I sort of have so much fun with is by the end, the heroines have found their power, and the couples themselves have found a way to bring out the best in each other. Yes. And I know that's cheesy, but I really do work hard to make that happen. And I think that's, and I, that's especially on both worlds, I guess. I really feel like that's, they're set up for that not to happen and for there to be some failure. Yes. In that way. So that makes it extra exciting and yeah, powerful when they do. But I, you know, I've learned so much again from authors like yourself and so many other authors about world building. And because when I first started out, I was not as engaged with world building. There's so many things to take care of, I guess, as you're writing. And as you become a stronger writer, you can do more. And I definitely do feel as if my ability to world build is growing. And that means that there's more emotion for the characters, more connection. And that's been fun for me too, just to learn in that respect.
Yes.
And I just feel like that makes the journey for them. And like I said, that connection where by the end, because in my, I know you haven't read them yet, but in these Ruthless Warlords, the Omegas, they all have gifts.
So it brings
in a little bit of, they have abilities. And sometimes those abilities, like in one of my books, Forbidden Flame, her ability is that she's a weapon. But that's a real problem because no one can touch her. So it's had the hero and her have to get creative. And that's got some fun, sexy stuff in there too. But the idea that by the end, they all have come to a better understanding of themselves and their power, which is kind of fun to write that.
It is. Yeah. You know, taking that character development and then putting it in through the couples, you know, and empowering them as individuals, but also as a couple is a really fun thing for me, too. I've had some people that say, well, she, you know, was a wimp until she found the guy and the guy saved her and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, you can look at it that way, or you can look at it that sometimes even though it's a guy, we need a friend. We need a connection.
Yeah.
We need someone who believes in us, you know? And sometimes that comes in romance. Sometimes you get that with family members. But if you've grown up in a really horrible world where you haven't had that, finding that is, it's kind of an amazing thing. And I totally understand that. I love being able to create these survivor type worlds.
Yes. You know?
Then having relationship in that, within that, where, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's because, you know, I am an active person. I like to hike. I like to do those kinds of things. But I'm not really a huge risk taker. So here you go. I get to have a world in which people are really pushed to the limit, survival type, you know, tested endurance, which is so thrilling. Yet I don't have to even stub my toe for that to happen.
I know, that's why you love fantasy. I live contemporary. I live real life. I live angsty drama, and I live, you know, all these other things. I want something a little different in my books. So.
Yeah. I love it all. I love contemporary too, honestly, but you're so right. I love to write. I love to write the kind of survival push to their.
I mean, you can put it in contemporary too, but it's not as crazy. You know, nobody has a tail or, you know, you can't do any little
horns are good.
Yeah, you can't do any little strange things. You know, they're not any extra appendages in the body parts that make them special.
It's true. That is wonderful. And I was going to say before, too, that I think another aspect that I find really fun is the sort of either the Band of Brothers, for instance, that I have at the Condensers, or with the Ruthless Warlords, they are literally brothers and sister family. And I'm finding that to be another sort of amazing area to explore. And just like we were saying before, it's not only the romance that helps these characters to grow, but the support around them, which is, I think, another really, and we all can relate to that. Either we have it and we connect that way, or we don't have it, and it's really lovely to see to read and experience in that way. So that's been an aspect that I feel like I've emphasize more lately, and I'm really enjoying that too.
That's very cool. So yeah. I want to get back a little bit to the marketing, what you have learned since you have been, you know, you're in your journey. It didn't work out with Avon. I can imagine that would be a little bit devastating. You know, you're like, oh, I got an agent and I'm with a big company and and then they drop everything. And so then you're doing your books and you're kind of just doing them for fun. So, but when you decided to come back and remarket and repackage, what, where did you learn those insights, and what really affected your sales, I guess? What was the most important thing that helped connect with reach the reader? Was it one thing or multiple things, or was it changing?
I think it was multiple aspects. I think let me think about that. What really made the difference? That is such a good question. And I honestly don't know if I know the answer, which is probably why I am still swimming my way through this process. If I knew a really good answer, I'd be golden. But I think that it was really helpful, like I said before, to connect with other authors. I'm now part of I run a sci-fi and fantasy romance Facebook page, and that with Carol Bristol and Leah Kirk, and that has been wonderful, not only just because that's so much fun to connect with readers and other authors that way, but it's just been a great resource for learning. And I just feel like I've let myself realize at some point that it wasn't just about the writing and that I did need to learn more about the whole process. And actually, when I decided to fully commit to becoming self-publishing and not doing the route of the agent, I got rid of my agent. It was lovely, but I just didn't want that. And I began to take a sort of much more active role in my own career. That's when things really shifted for me. So I, you know, began to, you know, read articles about ads and marketing. I just finished Sky Warren's ad class, which was on Facebook, which was fabulous. So I'm hoping to put that into play fairly soon. And so I just think really taking a more active role, I decided, you know, upon advice to redo my covers. And that was really helpful. Actively, not just passively, but actively learning has been huge. I joined Wide for the Win. I think, are you there too? I can't remember.
No, I might be in there, but I definitely know what it is because I listened to the podcast. It's a wonderful
resource. Wide to the Win, a Facebook group.
Sell More Books podcast. Uh-huh. Great podcast. And that, they talk about that quite a bit there. Yeah. I'm not wide yet, but I might be at some point in time.
Okay. I like being wide. And I really, and again, like I said, for instance, I loved my experience with Entangled, but I purposely decided not to do that right now because I really love being indie. And that's why, even though it was a shock at first when I all of a sudden I had thought I was going to be on this one trajectory with the New York agent and going with the five big publishing firms, I'm so happy. I really love what you're able to do as an indie author in terms of marketing and in terms of pivoting when you want, in terms of having the choices about your titles and your covers and how the book is packaged. So I'm so thankful, really, for the way things have turned out. I just find it to be, even though there are some bumps along the way and it's definitely challenging because you're not just a writer, you have to be all these different marketer and business person too, and proofreader, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, I've begun to embrace it more and more, and in that process really enjoy it. Plus, like I said before, I do think there's so much to be learned from readers. And I have found a great group of readers who I just adore and who have been so helpful and sort of inspiring me and, you know, making me think about what kinds of books that they really respond to and what they get excited about. And I feel like that's so useful because sometimes what you think might be interesting is not necessarily what they.
Exactly. Yeah, I really the difference between in marketing, there's a difference between writing what you really passionate about, and then standing on the street corner and saying, "I'm read my book, it's awesome," and connecting with readers and inviting them in, and responding to what they find passionate. And where you connect, where you communicate, really is what I find with readers is that it's the difference when you're standing by my book, and then the other is finding a way to communicate with the readers through your words and that exchange of them hearing what you're saying. I think you're creating your audience and connect finding your niche rather than having your niche come to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly.
You're going out and saying, okay, as a person, and saying, oh, this we can relate here. We love the same things. Oh, and rather than trying to be, just have a product in a store and hoping somebody comes across it, I love connecting with. I wouldn't have published without readers.
Yeah, I
I
can imagine.
published for free on Wattpad, and their response was there's a handful of reviews that just absolutely touched me so deeply that I went ahead and said, okay, yes, I'm connecting with an audience in a unique way, and it was mind-blowing for me. It was like, this is what I always wanted to do in my writing. I wanted to, even though I'm writing romance and fantasy and kind of smut and whatever, I always wanted to be able to connect with them. And if I didn't, I wouldn't write. Doesn't it,
That's right.
they like motivate you, they encourage you, they hear what you're saying. It's instead of a voice in the wilderness, in the void shouting, look
That's
at
true.
me.
And
You're
even when I
actually
write my newsletters, I really think of very specific people as I write them. I know, and I think that that's it helps. I think it helps to ground you as an author.
It
Because
does.
you're going to have so many people reading your books, and some of them are going to love and some of them they're not. And you just and if you have let too many voices in as you're writing, it can be daunting.
It
And
can be.
so for me, I just try to think about a couple of people who I feel, are invested and inspired, and who inspire me, and that really helps me as I'm writing to sort of drown out the rest of the voices, and but
I
not
don't know.
just be solely in my own world.
I need a couple really negative voices though, who see things a different way.
Neg So is that
I mean,
negative, or is that just alternative?
well, not in a bad way, but just to see. I need to. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to see this book from like the worst point of view possible, so I can, and then a positive point of view, so that I can maybe see if there are any holes. I'm always
I
worried
like that
about, holes in
philosophy.
something I've written, whether they like it or not. But if there's a, sometimes really critical reviews, they it means I'm not communicating with them, and so I want to figure out, well, why am I not, they just this is just not their cup of tea, or am I not, but yeah,
Because no book is perfect. Every book has flaws and holes, and
exactly.
it's very easy. I find it very easy to see all of mine, so that's part of one of
Oh,
my
do
challenges. Yes.
I always worry
Wind
about
my
holes.
way through this last book, Savage Prince, and oh my goodness. And then I was thrilled to discover that it was not the disaster that I thought it was, that in fact people thoroughly loved it, and
Yes.
that was a lovely surprise. So
Being able to write what you want with the twist and cross the genres and then hit the mark with that audience, oh,
Yeah. Nice.
ooh.
Very
That's the
nice.
sweet spot.
Yes.
That's the chef's kit,
The
being able to do something a little different and have it communicate across the lines, and people love it. Oh, yeah.
No, that's it. It feels lovely. This has been a love. I just released Savage Prince on 2 days ago now, June 22nd.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been lovely. I'm I'm still riding the fun feeling of that. That's always so nice. And then, you know, a couple weeks you have the quiet, the crickets chirping as you move into your next
exactly
book.
Very much so, very much so. Do you find most, I tell a lot of writers this, but do you find most you're able to connect with most of your audience on which platform is it? Is it Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? I mean, which platform do you feel like you're really connecting with them and letting them know when you have a new book? Or is it through your email platform? Which one works the best for you? Or is it a couple?
It's a mixture for me. Facebook, Instagram, and my newsletter are all sort of the main three pillars for me. And it's funny, I connect with very different readers and bloggers on each. So I'm madly typing away on all of those, and I get responses back, and it's different people. And it's, you know, each platform is a little different. I mean, with the newsletters, as I said, I write out and then I get emails back. So it'll be, which is fun. And then Instagram is such a different, it's the quick chats, or, you know, it's just so different, and it's the stories and everybody, you know, tagging each other in stories. And then Facebook is through my readers group, and it's just some people who posting or commenting, and then there's a tight group themselves who are so lovely. So it does feel for me like there's different readers being reached. And then it's always amazing to me, because there's so many readers who I don't interact with, but who are sort of there in the background, who come, you know, come out when the book is out, which I totally get, because I don't know that I would. I mean, everybody's so busy, and I don't know what kind of reader I would be. And that's one of the things I love to read. I'm sure you do too. And that's one of the rewards you've been promising yourself. And I just finished with myself, and I read both romance and non-romance, which was wonderful. I read some amazing nonfiction that I loved, and that was nice. And then I read some fabulous romance too. But it's so, I've totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying? I
think connecting with readers on different platforms.
Yeah, I guess I think I was just saying that I used to be, I love to read, and I used to do way more of it, but as a author, it's hard. And I think I was going to say before that when you were saying you hadn't read these books, and I was about to say, I totally get that, because the one thing is I rarely read in the genres that I'm writing in, unless I'm purposely kind of actively want to, or doing research, because otherwise it can, I feel nervous, or, you know, I don't want to, you know, you don't want to act
by osmosis.
Exactly. I worry about it quite
a bit. I don't want to take anybody else's writing or other people's ideas. And there's, you know, there's so many ideas that are just cross lines.
Somebody
else has done it before. And so I try to be confident, not worry too much about that. But at the same time, you can pick up things and you don't know you're picking them up. And
exactly.
And I do that.
We all do that. And it's a fine line. I do the same thing. I try to protect myself and, you know, not read as much until I'm finished. And then I can, you know, go into, you know, indulge myself. And I love Omegaverse. It's so much fun. And there's so many talented authors writing in Omegaverse. So it's great. But I'm like you. I don't read as much in that when I'm in the midst of writing.
I need to catch up in general. I love Omegaverse. I haven't touched it for a little while because I gotta make the monies. But the fact that you're on, I've tried Instagram is hard, but once you're there, you're there. You know, once you've built your platform and connected with a few people, and once you're there, and it can be very effective. I know I haven't had, I'm not really, my poetry account is on Instagram, but I tried through the Omegaverse group, the Goodreads group, there's all the alphas, and we're on Instagram, but I need to do more stuff. I think I might be able to, because it's a book review account. be able to connect more with readers that way.
That's a great
And
way.
Facebook is where I find most of mine, and then I find friends on Twitter. But but I'm having some success right now on TikTok, but it has nothing to do with what I've done. It's other people have read my book and then they review it.
That's
and
great.
There's no way I can. If I said how do you beat this? It's what happened with Ruby Dixon, you know,
yes,
when her books
I love
went,
that. Yes.
It's like people reviewed them, then they're like, her books, some of that series have been out for years. But
some
big
wonderful.
Accounts yes. have been like, ooh, what's this? And then they reviewed it, and then other people reviewed it, and so on and so on. And so then she shot to number one.
Yeah.
And there's so much. That's just the power of readers.
Yeah.
You know, I've done polls. I've talked to other people about this where readers are like, no, I don't pay too much attention to reviews. Yes, you do.
Interesting.
Because you want to know what's in it. Yeah. And so if somebody says this book is really spicy or this book has this and it was really fun, you know, it makes you curious and you want to go look. And even if it's a bad review, oh, this book was just too spicy, you know, whatever.
Right.
But the readers have so much power in this communication digital age. And it can be good or bad.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, you're right. It is wonderful that, and there is power, and it's just different venues of advertising that you
exactly,
and it feels slightly random. I think sometimes you hear afterwards it's less random than it initially appears. But I do. Yeah, there is a sort of fabulous sense of, oh, this has just been plucked from. No, you know, unknown and made into something great just from these different accounts, and that's kind of exciting and fun.
Exactly. So you, the bit for me, what that says is if you have good content that people like, that somebody can connect with. If you've done all the work to get your content, your book, readable, and somebody really likes it. I've always said you find out of 100, you have those two fans or that one fan who's just like,
yeah, those are the dream. Those are so wonderful. Those fans.
Yeah. You get that fan and then you're like, okay, then they do all the work for you.
You know, I mean,
really
and it's pleasure for them. They're excited and enthusiastic.
Exactly.
It's
so
nice.
It's more than worth more than any advertising. And yeah, the advertising is so important because sometimes your book will come out and nobody will know and they won't read it. But,
especially in this day and age where there are so many amazing books coming out every day. And it's, you know, that's
so I was trying
a lot of voices.
To, how many books are on Amazon? How many books, indie author books? There's like a couple million. You know, it's like you're competing with millions of other books, especially in romance.
Yeah.
And erotica.
And they're so good. So many of them are good. I mean, you know, it's not
so
like.
So many are good. Yeah.
Love
and to get up there, you know, to that, it's kind of it's a little bit of a roller coaster sometimes. You know, I was a bestseller for 2 days. Woo!
Yeah. Exactly.
My goal is a week. If I get a week, then
I like
I'll
that
say
goal.
Best-selling
right.
author. But I haven't. Yes. I've had 2 days.
Yeah, that's always a question. When can you claim it, and when should you? But
exactly, because it does go, and there's millions and new coming out all the time, and pressure coming from all different sides, and it's a hard. It's so much of it is chance, I think. There's just no one way.
I think that is both what can be hard about it and also what is exciting about it is there is no one way to reach readers or to get a wider group looking at your book. There's just so many different ways to go about it, and you have to find the one that works for you. Like you said, now all of a sudden you mentioned TikTok, and TikTok is really huge right now as a venue for bringing in new readers, which is kind of fun if you are good at TikTok or you like TikTok. If you don't, then it's harder. But, you know,
I'm not very good at it.
You're better than me. I've got one. I mean, it's always tricky, but it's also, that's the fun of it. I think one of the most important things, I mean, this is both as a human and as a writer, is you just have to be willing to keep trying new things and have fun with it. I mean, that's, you know, otherwise, what is the point? So that's my view on all of that.
Exactly. You know, I agree totally with the marketing and everything else. I can't do just one thing. It's fun for me to try new things and see if they work. And if they don't work, then okay, they don't work. You know, I'm okay with that. I don't feel like it's a failure. I feel like I learned something new, you know, and I met people along the way, and that's always good.
I mean, I think as a, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but, or for a lot of other writers like this, but I do sort of oftentimes frame everything in life as if it was the narrative of the book, you know, and you've got the hero's journey, we've got our author's journey, and these are all the challenges along the way, and whether you're going to step up to with them or you're going to let yourself be beaten down. I mean, that's, you know, who wants that in the end? You got to write your own hero's journey. So
exactly. Part of it is just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting up, keep going, keep trying, keep reimagining, just don't give up and just keep going, especially with writing, because you can always improve. You can always edit. You can always, you know, change things up. You can always, it's a craft that anybody can do and learn and get better at, you know?
Yes.
Some people are more natural storytellers, I think, but at the same time, there is an ability to, especially when it comes to reaching the audience, it's just, you just become a better communicator to what your story is. And I love that. I love the whole cut and paste aspect of being a writer. Oh, this doesn't work. I'm going to cut it. And I'll add this. And I think everything is a little bit like that, you know, in the marketing and the whole thing. Oh, I'm so glad you came on the show. We've actually been talking for a whole hour.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I didn't even realize. Oh my goodness, it's so easy to talk with you, and I love being here. Thank you for having me on. This was so much fun.
I was like, oh, she's going to come on the podcast. And I want to say, you mentioned Laura Lee.
Yes.
She's coming. I get to interview because of TikTok, because I met her on TikTok. She is coming on the podcast on, she said she'd come anytime, but she has a book coming out in September, and my birthday, I'm going to have her come on my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
I'm outing my birthday, but it's like the biggest present to me, because, you know, she's like one of my heroes in the genre.
I adore her books too. She's a wonderful writer. Cowboys
are alpha. They're just
She's fabulous. She's fabulous. That is so exciting. That is wonderful. I can't wait for that. That's gonna be really fun.
No, I want to be your best friend. I want to go down there. Can I stay at your house and wait? I'm not trying not to be stalkerish, but I'm a little bit fangirling big time. I'm so honored.
It's a fine line. You're right there. You're right there on the line. I thought.
Exactly. And since you've been writing so long, you know who she is and what she did and how she changed.
She's fabulous.
It's like your condemned series and the creativity of it, that may not have ever been able to. She kind of
100% agree. Yes, yeah. I totally agree. She was, I think, very formative, and a lot of us writers who write anything with breeding and all this, we owe a great deal to her because she, her breed series and that sort of premise. She's not the only one, but she was a terrific one.
Those pioneers in the 2000s when they were starting all those ebook companies and before Amazon, pre-Amazon. And they just wrote their fantasies out and tried everything. I mean, I think they changed the paranormal. They brought that. There was no paranormal before that. Not really.
No, you're absolutely right.
And there was no sexy paranormal for women before that. And Yeah, they changed, they opened, I watched them open the market. And then when they went to print, when they got traditional, way before Fifty Shades and stuff, I was just absolutely, I'm like, wow. I'm like,
Yeah, no, it was that's whenever I certainly like dove right back into romance and never came up. That
Yeah, to watch that happen was kind of a cool thing. And it is, I'm not a massive feminist, but it was very empowering
Yes.
me to see this happen, to
Yeah.
be able to connect in that way.
Oh,
And
that's good. I am a massive feminist, and I totally also thought it was incredibly empowering. So there you go. Two different.
I mean, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I just want to hug you now.
You're so cute. Well, I love this, and I can't wait for that talk. But I also know I'm going to get to chat, keep chatting with you during our, because we are get to connect, which I love, through our various author support groups. But thank you so much for having me on,
I'm
and
so glad you came
just
on. Thank
so
you.
much
And
fun.
I will get
Thanks
this
for everybody who
reposted and let
listened.
you know. And yeah. And thank you, audience, for being here.
Yes.
And I know people tried to call in, but this was a
Meow.
really important interview, and I'm sorry, I just didn't want any interrupt. I'm selfish.
Well, I loved it. I can't wait to hear what I maybe I'll listen for the call-ins later. That'll be fun. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much for
Yes.
having me. Oh, that Tom,
Thank you.
thank you. You're so sweet.
Yeah, Tom is great.
And meow. You've got a lot of great listeners here. Very sweet.
I
Thank you all
do.
for
I
coming
do.
and
My
listening.
little audience is
It's
wonderful.
lovely.
So,
That's what you want. That's who you
yes,
talk to. That's the best.
exactly. They
Yeah.
become friends,
Yeah, so
become
nice.
friends.
All
So
right. Well, thank you so much.
you're welcome. You have a great day.
Thanks. You take
I'm
care.
gonna turn my music on and
Oh.
say goodbye.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation as we talk about romance and journeys and even a little bit of marketing and just the process. I mean, I first came across Allison books in, I don't know, 2016 was the first, so around there. And then when she started publishing again, literally, I was like, yay! And that's a journey. That's quite a journey to go from published, Avon and an agent and an indie and have total control and write what you want and find your audience and connect with them. So it really is all about the communication for me, guys. So thank you so much for coming today.